Well, that can only mean one thing. That means you're listening to the High Spot Podcast alongside my tag team partner and one member of the Jersey Wrecking Crew, Jeff Martin. I am Brian Berga. You guys can catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast for all the latest news, notes, entertainment, your comments, guys, guests, potential guests coming on the show, everything the High Spot Podcast you want to know about, catch us on Twitter. We love to have you on there. Jeff,
what's up, buddy?
What's up with you, dude? I haven't seen you in a while.
In a while?
Yeah.
Ugh. I've been too busy digging dirt on Sports Authority, that's why.
Yeah, well, some wounds won't heal, Jeff.
Can't let it go.
Can't let it go, man. But, you know,
this is a bittersweet show, though.
It is a bittersweet show, but it may be more sweet than bitter. I don't know.
No, depends because there's still people that are affected, and, you know, I don't want to say I told you so, and you should have gotten out, but it's not...
But at the same
something
time,
I'm gloating about.
You don't want to be the guy who says, I told you so, but we both told everybody so. This was going to happen. I mean, you could just see it from the inner works. And guys, what we're talking about is that Jeff and I came across news recently that a company we used to work for in retail, the Sports Authority, and we kind of started out there in our world of making money, making dollars, money, money, money. We did a lot of that stuff, and we kind of got out of the world of retail because Jeff and I, or I can only really speak for myself, I can't speak for Jeff, kind of really didn't see much of a future in retail and want to kind of move on to something more that we wanted to enjoy. So we come up across an article, and it's all over news. If you haven't heard right now, Sports Story is filing for bankruptcy. But right now, this is like, for Jeff and I, an end of an era. We were there, or Jeff was there from the very beginning. Not of the store, but in the Jersey area by where we live.
And I remember the whole story like it was yesterday, man. I remember my mom was like, hey, you know, you need something, you know, to impress the colleges, and you know, it'd be great if you had a part-time job. So, you know, there's
worst decision your mom ever made for
me. Yeah, there's a Sports Authority nearby, and they're applying. They're just brand new. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, sure, why not? You know, at that point, my girlfriend was working already, and she was making, you know, some cash, whatever, at a drugstore.
Gotta
and
keep
so,
the women happy, man.
Yeah, right? So I'm figuring, okay, it'd be nice to have a little cash because, you know, let's just say, you know, my parents were paying for the dates, so yeah. I figured I need to, you know, get my butt out there and work. So
and someone tells me they wanted you to just get off your lazy ass and work.
Yeah, so
they're tired of paying for your dinners and your candlelight movies and stuff like that. So I
applied, and then I get there and they're like, you guys get to build a store. And I'm like, wait a minute, we're not showing up training. No, you guys get to build the store from the ground up. And I'm telling you, when I got in there...
So like, I never asked you, what was it? Was it like an empty building?
It was empty, man. Everything got built by us. I mean, you walk in there, the bathroom, like, literally water like squirting up like from the ground. It's like a little mini bidet that you guys had there. And
so how do you put those tiles
joking.
Up? How do you put those tiles together?
Well, tiles, I mean, that was them. But I mean, as far as like building fixtures and putting in actually the merchandise, it was all on us. So I literally had a hand in building that store there where I used to work at. Long story short, ended up, you know, flipping back and forth to stores, took some time off, came back, and then ended up being there for a long time. Then actually I got you involved in that, and then you actually applied there, and then you worked with me for a little bit.
Yeah, I worked with you for a little bit, then you had left, and I had stayed, and then I decided to leave, and then
you came back.
I didn't come back then. I came back once, and then I really wanted to do it as a part-time thing because I needed some extra money on the side, and I knew I could do it. Theoretically, it wasn't, you know, to me, brain surgery. And then I left, you know. And
it used to be fun. Used to be fun, dude.
Well, more than that, dude, I look at it more of that it was part of my childhood. It was part of my youth.
Yeah.
And like how we talk about, you know, when we see, unfortunately, you know, people pass away and pass on and things of that nature, it just feels like a part of your childhood closes. And despite our feelings, you know, I'm kind of indifferent about it. I don't know about you, Jeff, but despite my indifference towards it, it's kind of like, wow, that's the end of really an era, theoretically, of once my life was part of.
Well, and now I hate to see you at my funeral because you're just so like, blah, blah, you know. I mean, you're just like, well, I'm indifferent to it. I hate to see you at my funeral, dude, and how you'd act.
Dude, I'd be
stubborn. It's here, man. No, I feel, like I said, it was fun in the beginning. We had tons of fun. And then I remember one day where, you know, and I blame the economy too, you know, so you can blame a bunch of things, but they were like sticklers. They're so quick
to blame everybody.
Yeah, they were like sticklers for like, man, this has to be done. This has to be, you know, now, whatever, you know, sell stuff, sell accessories, sell, you know, insurance plans, do all this and stuff. And then it just became corporate and it became a job that, as Dinko said, a job that you hate. And I hated going there and I became miserable. And, you know, then actually decide, hey, maybe there is a future in this. Yeah, my dumbass. And, yeah, not so much. So then I got sent to a store where basically there was as many people in this room right now as there was employees, and got stuck with the brunt of the work. And basically everybody was just like, oh, you know, corporate is chummy chummy. And there, I just dealt with a bunch of assholes. And it made me bitter, and it made me want to leave. And I left, and I just, you know what? One day, I had enough. I was like, I got to be happy, and I got to do what I, you know, I have to do what I got to do. And, you know, and part of it was to start this podcast and work in my field. So,
well, don't hold back on my account, Jeff.
No. So, you know, and I'm going to name names too, and I'm going to tell everybody just douchebags that worked there that I had the experience with. And the thing is, we did mention it. We do mention to Alicia today, and that's the premises on this. A lot of people don't know what's going on. A lot of people have been left in the dark. I've been reading on a bunch of places where, you know, people are calling and the employers are left to answer the questions. And they don't know. And their CEO comes on their website and, you know, gives his, like, you know, garbage spiel and says, you know, this is what's going on, you know, which is not even true. It's bull. And you have a bunch of people that, you know, are working there and full-timers that depend on the income there. They got families, they got houses, and it's not right. But I'll tell you who the douchebags are, and it starts with, and I'm going to name names. And you know the best thing of having your own podcast is? You get to name names and you get to trash them. So let's start with the biggest douchebags that there are. Let's start with, let me see who I dealt with there. Pat Baker, biggest douche I've ever met in my life. And the funny thing is, I would see them take advantage of the employees and say, hey, you got to sell these certain amounts of insurance policies. Sell this amount. You know why? So they can go to Mexico at the end of the year and drink and have this, you know, great time in Mexico while everybody else slaved and worked their asses off, brainwashed by the fact they thought they actually had a future with that store. So we go to Pat Baker. Then we have another douchebag in Tony Graves, which is probably the guy that if I ever saw him in person, I would love to punch in the face, because this guy was a guy that, oh, he brainwashed you saying, hey, man, you know, do this and that, used you and then bled you dry and then had no more use for you. And here's a guy that also, any guys from Sports Radio that were old school, he had no use for you either. He wanted to get rid of you. If you had a bloated salary, you were one of the first people he wanted to get rid of just so his fat ass would look, you know, impressive to the bosses. So that's another guy, you know. And then I would say another douchebag was, let me see, Dave Morgan. Dave Morgan was another douchebag that, honestly, you know, this is a guy that changed and the guy that was totally a nice guy. One of the guys. And all of a sudden, he got brainwashed by this idiot, Tony Graves, and he said, hey, you know what? You know, there's a place for you. And what did he do? He worked them and worked them and worked them, moved him from place to place, from department to department, from store to store. And what did he get for it? Oh, Sports Authority's closing, and you live in Connecticut, and you're stuck. So I have no sympathy for the corporate guys. They're getting what they deserved. Although, you know what? They're probably enough thieves enough where they've, you know, pocketed their checkbooks properly and made sure that before the whole ship sinks, that they've taken, you know, the chairs, that they've taken everything, you know, and left the store with nothing. So I will say the only thing is that guy Tony left to go to another store because he knew the ship was sinking. And I feel bad for everybody else that's still there, that busted their ass, that are good people, and now have no answers. And that's what this show is about. We're going to help to answer some of your questions.
That's right, guys. I mean, despite the fact, and Jeff with a very passionate there comment, because again, he dealt with those issues on a day-to-day basis more than I did. Or maybe I just didn't really care about it too much. I was like, you know, whatever, blow it at you. You know what? You know, this isn't going to be my life. For unfortunately, a lot of people there, it is their life. So, you know, this kind of just explains the intricacies of what business is like. I mean, a lot of people think business is, you know, it's cutthroat. It's true, but a lot of people don't tend to realize, Jeff, it affects other people.
And retail sucks. Yeah. There's no future in it, guys. None.
Especially now. I mean, you talked about the economy. Look at it now in terms of all the stuff that we have in terms of technology. We talked about how people can't strike up a conversation, right? Well, now people don't even want to go out into the world and just deal with people in general, and they just want to buy all their stuff online. I mean, when's the last time, and again, I'll put myself in that equation too, Jeff. I go out there now and like during Christmas, and I don't like shopping at all in general, guys. I don't.
Two or three stores, tops on Christmas.
I don't even buy my own clothes. It's sad to say. They're always gifts. So, you know, I live through other people. People live vicariously through me because I live through their fashions. You know, I like to think I know what's good or what's out there. I can't remember the last time I bought something for myself. But anyway, that being said, I remember, you know, going and trying to, you know, things for people's birthdays or for Christmas or special days and occasions. And the last thing I want to do is go drive in my car, go into a parking lot, get on a long line, deal with a bunch of douches for parking spots. And, you know, I'd just rather buy it online, have it sent to me. That's the way life's gone right now. And that's why retail, that's why Jeff and I, we saw this a mile away that this was going to happen. And unfortunately, this is the direct result of it. Now we're talking about one company, right? But this isn't just an isolated incident. It happens all over the place, and people get affected. And the thing is, and Jeff was talking about, you know, these corporate people, and he has no sympathy for them. I mean, that's true. You can't really feel sorry for them because they put themselves in the positions that they're in. They chose that lifestyle and that way of, you know, a means to an end, theoretically, to earn an income. But at the end of the day, nothing lasts forever, and we knew this was going to happen. And this type of business, especially in retail, it's like the ocean. You don't turn your back on it. And you, when you turn your back on it, this is what happens. And this is just a huge blow to, you know, you want to say the little guys, the people that, you know, bust their butt every single day to do the work that, you know, it takes two or three people to do. And they do it willingly because they know this is their job, this is their source of income. And it hurts a lot of people. And a lot of people just don't understand the ins and outs of the business, especially in retail, it's devastating.
This is personal because these people would throw you under the bus, get rid of you because you made, you know, you've been there forever and you made money and you were no more use to them. They wanted to get some part-timer, and hey, I get how the business world works, but these guys were total douchebags, and I'm telling you to the nth degree, that's how much of douchebags they were, okay? There were good people there. It used to be fun, but when they took the fun out of it and when they actually took my smile away, which is hard to do, okay, this is why it's personal. And this is nothing more than just wanting to find out the truth. And yeah, it's a personal vendetta. It's a personal, you know, quest for us to bring you the truth. And that's what we did. We found that the best person possible to give you the facts on the Sports Authority. And that's why we seek that Alicia Wallace from the Denver Post, and who obviously the Sports Authority is, their corporate headquarters are in Inglewood, Colorado. So who is better qualified than to talk about what's going on with Sports Authority than Alicia Wallace from the Denver Post? And, you know, she came on and she told us what's going on, where they're at, and basically giving the people that don't know the answers, you know, answers.
Yeah, there's so many questions that still remain that not anybody knows it. So what better person than Alicia Wallace? And you can catch her on Twitter at Alicia Wallace, all one word, to kind of give you the answers, because she's in the center basically of all of this. And, you know, we reached out to her. She gave us a few minutes of her time, and we were gracious enough to have it. And we spoke to her and wanted to ask, you know, integral questions that all of you guys want to know that nobody's giving you the answers to. And, you know, filing for bankruptcy, you know, where's the store going? Where's the franchise going?
Are they all closing?
Are they all closing?
140 stores, you know?
So we went and we sat down with Alicia Wallace, and we asked her basically what's going on with the Sports Authority, and this is what she had to say. Alicia, thank you so much for giving us your time here. How are you?
Thanks, Chef. I'm doing okay. Doing all right for a Monday.
All right. Mondays are always tough, but Alicia, let's get to the main question here. Is
sure.
Where does the whole Sports Authority situation stand as we speak right now?
Sure thing. Well, bankruptcy is always confusing, but it's still in the Chapter 11 process. Essentially, where it stands right now is May 16th, the big date for an auction of the 140 store leases that are expected that are in the process of closing, and then that auction also will include the remainder of the store leases and any other assets. That's only if some buyer doesn't emerge between now and next week, but it's I mean, long story short, it's still going through the bankruptcy process.
Okay, so Alicia, so it started out with bankruptcy and about 140 stores, but then I was reading sometime last week that the reports were saying that they were thinking of liquidating all 450 stores nationwide. How did it get to that, and how true are those reports?
There were some misreporting that had occurred. Looked like probably about at the not last week, but the week before. Essentially, what had happened with the court hearings is that Sports Authority lawyers said, well, just to bring you guys back a little bit. Initially, when they started out, they said they were going to go down this dual track process. The first option were to go through Chapter 11 and then reorganize, give a big haircut to the giant $1.1 billion of debt, and then emerge as a slimmer, thinner, more nimble company. And then the second option would be to pursue a sale of some sorts, or to sell off their assets and whole as a whole or in parts. And then essentially what came out 2 weeks ago, or kind of at the start of the month, was that the lawyers said, okay, we're going to scrap that first option. We're not going to try to reorganize and emerge from this process as Sports Authority, but go fully into the selling the parts. And so as that happened, there was some one publication, looks like one national publication, erroneously reported that Sports Authority was going to liquidate and close all 450, it's actually more like 463 stores. And then, like, and as with this day and age, like wildfire, that caught on. But it's a little bit trickier to Sports Authority might very well close the 463 stores, and it might end up you might see store closing sales there, but it hasn't been decided just yet.
Alicia, this is Brian. Quickly, that I wanted to bring across a point was that how much of the competition out there now with, you know, sporting goods stores like Dick's, Modell's, and especially online shopping, how much of that has probably affected what's going on right now with Sports Authority in terms of probably maybe losing sales because of something like that?
Sure. No, it's played its part. Online has had a huge effect, not just in the sporting good retail industry, but just retail overall, brick and mortar. And companies have learned to adapt. You see companies like REI, you know, and even Dick's to some extent, still having success despite that, because they put their focus elsewhere. REI, known for its customer service, you walk in there, look at a product, and when a sales associate approaches, that person likely used that product on a camping trip the week before and can provide some expert and personal advice. Whereas Sports Authority has been criticized for being almost like a department store from 1985, where everything just sits on shelves. It's hard to find a salesperson, and there's no real experience that's better there than what a consumer can get from other retailers or from going on Amazon or some other website.
We're here with Alicia Wallace, and again, you can follow her on Twitter at Alicia Wallace, business reporter for Denver Post. Alicia, we're talking about like Dick's and Modell's. What are the chances of say a company like Dick's trying to buy some of the Sports Authority assets and do something with that?
I think the chances are pretty good. Dick's, a couple weeks back, when Sports Authority first announced it was going through this process, Dick's, on its earnings call said that the chief executive there said that he wanted to be very aggressive in capturing what Sports Authority was giving up. That includes buying up any leases, taking over some of those stores, but then also going after the customer base. I know here on the radio just a couple weeks ago, I heard an ad for Dick's that mentioned specifically, hey, Sports Authority is closing a bunch of stores. why not bring in your loyalty card to Dick's, and we'll actually give you $20 if you sign up for our loyalty program. And then just today, this one research note put out said that Dick's very well could acquire anywhere from 80 to 180 stores of Sports Authorities.
That's got to be brutal, especially coming on my end of being with the company, Sports Story, for 10-plus years. This kind of hits home, and especially because I do still have friends that still, you know, are working there. And I'll tell you how personal and how, like, competitive this was in Dick's, because they were at a close area, because you one Sports Story would open up, and then there'd be a Dick's, like, maybe 2 miles down the road. And it's very on good source when I had people jump over, because they would recruit people from a Sports Story to go over to Dick's. And their main mission, their main objective, and this is from very reliable sources, was that, you know, their main objective was to put Sports Story out of business. So for someone on my end, and someone, you know, that takes that personally, it's just, to me, it's just a very competitive environment out there that a company would have that sole purpose to do that to another store or a competitor.
Yeah, goodness. Yeah, I know that's the way some companies operate. Some people say it's just business, but it's obviously tough when there's a lot of people working for a company for a cause, and then you have those other outside pressures out there, you know. And I think that's the one part that's not really been talked about too much through this process. You hear about stores closing and, you know, people getting good deals, but what happens to the close to 15,000 people who work for Sports Authority, or who worked there for many years, either in the head office when, you know, back when the company was Guard Sports here in Denver, they're folks who have spent many, many years with this company, and then now it's they're going to be out of a job, or maybe they'll continue forth with someone else, but it's a confusing and tough time for them.
Definitely confusing time. This is Brian again, Alicia. Quick question that I guess maybe piggybacking off what Jeff said. I mean, these stores closing and people unfortunately might be out of a job position-wise. You had mentioned before when I was talking about the competition with online shopping now to how somewhat it's, or in a good respect, it's hurting retail. If someone were to, for example, buy the rights of a Sports Store and say they were to be able to keep their name, do you feel right now when you described how, like, they're much more of like a retail store back like in the 1985, where like it's really hard to find anything, find a sales associate? Is there any way of probably rebranding the name, or will it have still somewhat of a maybe a stigma behind it right now, since it's in bankruptcy right now and they're trying to probably liquidate or probably sell off the name?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You saw that with Radio Shack, and how after that company went through the bankruptcy process, you see the name and the essence of the company survive in retail. But then I was thinking of that earlier today with Sports Authority, whether what someone could do with that name if it did get tainted enough during this process. But it all depends on positioning. If someone were to acquire the brand, I think they would probably have to just put loads of money in the marketing and touting a new Sports Authority 2.0 or 3.0. And
like America Online, a new upgrade, yeah, right? A new upgraded version. Sports Authority 4.0, guys.
Yep. But in terms of when it comes to the name, what is interesting here on just here in our state is the Mile High naming rights, because Sports Authority has the naming rights for that stadium there where the Broncos play, and so that's one aspect of this case that I'm curious to see if somebody will pick up that contract or where that will end up.
And again, Alicia Wallace here, really wanted to talk to her because she's, of course, in Colorado, in Denver, and, of course, the home base, corporate headquarters for sports star is in Inglewood, Colorado, and this is kind of a two-part question. For Sports Authority, the naming rights, here's what bothers me, and this is what bothers me to no end. The company went private, public, private, and then they, you know, then I see the CEO say, well, we went back private for, you know, just for better results and just for the betterment of the store, but yet then they put out and they buy naming rights to a football field, and, you know, we understand the perks of having your name up there for advertising and everything, all the kickbacks that you get back. But I mean, like, how frustrating has it got to be for workers and employees there when they realize, like, hey, this company here really isn't doing pretty good, yet they're spending all this money to put their name on a football field. That's got to be, you know, that's got to be just a low blow right there.
Yeah, you know, and I've definitely heard that from some employees as well. And then there's, you know, on the other side, you have marketing experts who say, hey, that $6 to $7 million a year that Sports Authority is paying is more than well worth it for the exposure that they get both nationally and locally, having people drive by on I-25 and see that name in giant big red letters. And so there's the other side of that as well. But obviously when a company isn't performing and every dollar matters, that's certainly going to get called into question.
And then the second question is too, like, and again with the whole bankruptcy thing, and if you could explain it to me, or maybe it's not something that maybe it's on the company solely. When the company does go bankrupt and you have full timers that work there, does their severance package, is that included, or does filing for bankruptcy mean that also gets washed away?
You know, there are some, and that's one of the very initial filings that comes when a company first files for bankruptcy is to basically ask the court to continue paying employees and to continue paying, you know, essentially keeping the lights on as well, paying utilities, paying employees. And there I need to look at the filings specifically to be able to comment on any kind of severance packages, but I know that there were some typically are some protections put in place just to make sure that employees do get paid through this process. How long that extends after the whole process is done, I'm not sure.
Alicia, you've been you mentioned before how you know, Sports Story is paying the naming rights for the Mile High Stadium where the Denver Broncos play in. So, and my question would be this. So say, for example, they haven't missed a payment yet. I mean, I think their next payment is, I believe, August 1st. And then if they fail to make that payment, then they would still have 30 days to do it. If not, then the stadium or the owners could terminate the contract. Have you heard of any possible bidders out there in case that should possibly happen?
Let's see, for a new name? Sure. And it's kind of tough on that with the naming rights, because that $6 to $7 million a year payment that's split between the Broncos, which had a private contract until recently, and then the public end, the state stadium district here. But the August 1st deadline for the stadium district, yes, that's correct. The termination clause for the district is if Sports Authority doesn't pay by that date, doesn't make due within that 30-day period, then the district can do what it pleases in terms of canceling that contract. With the Broncos, I was able to dig that out of the bankruptcy filings last week, and there was a May 1st payment that was due, and I didn't get a word out of Sports Authority or the Broncos on it as to whether the company made that payment or missed that payment, but there's also a 30-day window on that, too. In terms of companies come forward, we have, on April Fool's Day, one of our many pot companies here said that they wanted to acquire the innate naming rights and had the funds to do so, but the NFL and the Broncos aren't going to let that fly. And then as for anybody else, there's been plenty of rumors, plenty of suggestions, but nobody's stepped forth just yet.
And again, Alicia Wallace, follow her on Twitter at Alicia Wallace, business reporter for the Denver Post. And again, if anybody, you know, any employees out there that listen to this and still have any questions, I would really suggest to follow her or go to denverpost.com and read her articles, because she, you know, she's very much in the loop. And again, I thank her, you know, I want to thank her for joining us, because, you know, this is home to me and Brian, because we worked there for so long and made a lot of friends there too, and actually, you know, care for, you know, the outcome and the resolution to this. So,
I think the same thing too, Jeff, is that most people don't realize, although this is a business world and people are in there to make money, and things like this do happen in real life, it does affect real people. So it does affect lives. And unfortunately, you know, business is business, but, you know, people are affected by it.
And listen, Alicia, too, like, you know, a little bit of our background, too. We did work there. It was great in the beginning, you know, and then somewhere towards the end, it just became very much, well, you know, it just became very, you know, once the economy, you know, slipped, it was very much about, you know, goal-orientated, do this, and then they, you know, cut back hours and have one person work various departments. And just honestly, I can tell you that when I left, it was because morale was low, and it was something to turn the page on in retail, because, you know, a lot of people might find, you know, their futures might be in it, but it just wasn't the same after a while when everything was so, like, goal, like money oriented, driven. And of course, we were talking about the loyalty cards and just the hassle that we would hear from management. Just, you know, get on that and do this and that. And just actually, I think what was bad is that for one person, they just had to do so many tasks, and it was just impossible to do the main thing, which was customer service. And to me, I think that was just the customer service too is also the downfall of Sports Authority.
Yeah, you know, and that's it's one of those things. I mean, from a customer's perspective too, I mean, they can sense that. They can see when morale is low. That definitely comes up and translates through that as well. And it's I'm sorry to hear that happened. And yeah. You know, and it's you know, I'm hopeful for the folks who are working on the store level, to the folks who are working in the corporate offices, that they all land on their feet in whatever way works best for them.
Hey, Alicia, and just one more question for me. I know this might be a pretty broad one, but if we could somehow neutralize it here, it's like we spoke about retail and how online shopping now is been in a huge boom now. I mean, I know for Christmas or like my family's birthdays or whatever, I rarely now go to the malls or go to like the sporting goods store to get something, because you know, there is more freedom and more options online, and it takes away a lot from what Jeff spoke about before about customer service, the actual human element that which made retail very popular and very strong at the point of where it is right now. From a business aspect, what do you feel like retailing in terms of like with Sports Authority, if they do end up not liquidating their name and somehow having somebody else invest and maybe buying it, what changes need to be made in terms of to compete with online shopping?
Well, I think that's the $1 million question.
Yeah, right.
Alicia, you know, if you
save the best for last.
You really exactly. Don't need to like be on here anymore. You could just like totally be like, you know, Denver Post, bye bye. You know what I mean? If you had the answer to that.
Exactly. I would think, for looking at Sports Authority specifically, bolstering the website's one element and making that a better experience, just from just even from a simple browsing perspective. But one thing I noticed on Sports Authority is that they didn't have the option that many stores do as to pick up in store. Sometimes it's easy if I'm price shopping online. I think, oh, okay, well, this is perfect. They have the perfect product at the right price. I could just go down to the store and pick it up. and then but they didn't have that option, so that could be a barrier for customers to.
At least they had no clue. They tried doing that in one of our stores. We're on the Jersey side, and we record out of New York, and we're in the Jersey. They try that in, like, because they have, like, for example, like test stores, right? And they would try that, and let me tell you something. Their effort in doing this, because, again, it was all, you know, and I understand where corporations come from and large businesses, but they had one guy that in charge of all that stuff. Yet he also had to work out on the floor, deal with customers. It was just, you know what I mean? It just, to me, the effort wasn't there, because it was all in about, like, cutting costs and putting more hats on the individual, and that was a complete disaster. Do you think that maybe, like, for example, because Sharper Image did this too, where they were a brand, and all of a sudden then they just became an online store. Could Sports Story maybe be just an online store?
That's a possibility. It all depends on who acquires what rights and what intellectual property, and then it would just be a matter of utilizing that name or building that name up to succeed in that manner. But also it might take on the store end, if they were to try to survive, perhaps do smaller stores or specialized stores. Essentially, they're very general when it comes to sporting goods, and they're competing against the Golf Galaxies and the REIs and these more specific types of retailers out there. So, I mean, even a smaller footprint, but also investing more in their employees and in their customer service, so that experience is better.
Yeah, it seems like in the last couple of, I wouldn't say a couple of years, like decades, it's drastically changed the retail experience from what it is now. A lot of it could probably be technology, I don't know. But, wow, just an amazing turn of events, because Jeff and I, we wanted to speak to you and cover something like this, because it hits home with both of us. We were part of that type of environment, not just with the company, but the environment of retail, how competitive it is, and the craziness that goes all around with it, which is business in general. But it's just sad sometimes it affects so many lives. Again, speaking to Alicia Wallace, business reporter for Denver Post. You can catch her on Twitter at Alicia Wallace. Alicia, we thank you so much for your time. We know it's you're very busy. You're always working, like us. So, and
yeah,
especially
got
in this business.
Right, man. We were taking up so much of her time. She got stories to write.
This woman has so many stories to write, and we're taking up her time.
It's all good. All right. Hey, thank you guys so much.
Hey, next time you hear anything, just keep us updated. That'd be great to hear from you again.
We'll do.
And any of your wrestling buddies want to come on, they'll listen to this too, because we do wrestling occasionally from time to time. Maybe that's what we're known for. Please let them know, follow us, and you know, we'll love to have them on as well.
Yeah, no, definitely. I got a guy definitely in mind for you guys.
Do you watch wrestling at all or no?
You know, back when I was a kid, I haven't followed it much since.
All right, I got to ask the question. I'm sorry. I keep holding you back from writing your billions of stories, but who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
Oh, goodness. Let's see.
Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, Randy Savage.
I did like Hulk, but I liked the Iceman back in the day. So.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Interesting.
And that was Alicia Wallace, business reporter for the Denver Post. You guys can catch her on Twitter at Alicia Wallace. Great interview. We're thankful she gave us a few minutes of her time there to kind of try to answer and bring some, I wouldn't say closure to it, but give some kind of clarity to what's going on right now with something that's
updated,
affecting a lot of people out there. So, you know, if you guys are listening to the High Spot Podcast, and again, catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast, you'll be able to listen to this and kind of get an idea of not only the business of retail, but basically kind of the direction where everything is going now. Because, you know, online shopping is not a phase. It's been here to stay. Who knows? Maybe all stores now in general. I mean, I don't think about grocery stores. I'm still going to go get my groceries.
Yeah, man.
But who knows? They even send that to you as well.
The art of customer service.
It's dead, man. I think it's really dying, and it's fortunate because Jeff and I have been part of that world for a good part of our life, and to see how it's changed now and resorted to this type of outcome, it's kind of sad, and like Jeff said, it's bittersweet. But again, we thank Alicia Wallace for coming on. You guys have been listening to the High Spot Podcast. You can catch us on Twitter at High Spot Podcast. My tag team partner and one member of the Jersey and Wrecking crew, Jeff Martin. Another great episode in the books.
Hey, how about Alicia Wallace, a Hulk Hogan fan, huh, brother?
We got her to talk about wrestling one bit, you know what? And she's going to have all her friends say, You are on the High Spot Podcast. Can't get any better than that.
Hey, keep updated with anything with Sports Authority. I'm Jeff Martin.
Brian Brigger here.
Peace. See you later.
Iceman.